You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Dave and Dejanovic, your morning companions for talk, analysis, and key perspectives on Utah's biggest stories on KSL News Radio.
I felt like things escalated really quickly last night up at the University of Utah on the lawn in President's Circle. Five police departments, riot gear, moving in, removing protesters. We just heard from the University of Utah moments ago, weighing in on this, Dave, and why the decision was made to bring in so many police officers, five different jurisdictions, the use of force that was used. And ultimately, to me, my takeaway was it was when they went the encampment route, when the protesters started setting up tents.
No question. That was the difference maker, according to the University of Utah. They're like, protest away all you want. But as soon as you start setting up camps, and they were in negotiations trying to make sure that that was very clear, that that will not be allowed.
Chris Nelson, Chief Communications Officer with the University of Utah, just hanging up the phone with us moments ago, said, hey, this all started with hours of conversations.
We have 4 hours of conversations with these groups to say, you are welcome to do this. You cannot do this. And again, looking at other universities, the university is not open for camping. We are not open to set up, what has happened at Columbia University. Looking at what was brought to campus, the organization, this was more than a student protest. This was something different. And again, we will always foster free speech in our campus, but we will not allow our campus to be overtaken or occupied by outside groups.
And if you look at what is happening at Columbia University, they have taken over this morning one of the halls. They have barricaded the doors. They've smashed windows. And they just hung, I'm seeing reports come out, that they just hung a flag called that says Intifada. And if you're wondering what that means, it's an uprising. It's an Arabic word for uprising. But the American Jewish community says the word intifada references violent terrorism.
What happened at the University of Utah last night with the pro-Palestinian protest gave me no indication that these protesters were breaching buildings. From our vantage point, the video that you and I watched this morning, they were camping. They set up camps, and then police gave them the warning to get out or else. Chris Bertram, whose resume includes former spouse of Debbie Dujanovic. Good to talk to you, Chris. And also, more importantly, former chief of police in the Holiday Precinct with the Unified Police Department for a number of years and also the Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office. You're no stranger to these types of decisions, and I think Dave's question that he asked of the University of Utah moments ago is a good place to start, so I'll let him re-ask it of you, Chris.
So was it a preemptive crackdown before something more serious happened?
It probably was. I will say that this is a complex decision. You know, it's interesting because when you talk about universities and colleges, the decision of the police to move in and move people out or make arrests is not solely on the police department. You know, the cabinet, the academic cabinet, even Chris Nelson mentioned that there were lawmakers that were in that decision, and public safety are all probably huddling and bringing in the information, the intelligence of what's going on in this situation before they made the decision that if they start camping, we're going to stop that immediately and start making arrests. So I want to be clear that there's a lot of things probably going on behind the scenes before they made that decision.
So you're taking us inside the war room. It's not, I know, just having been married for so long, that's a pressure cooker. I was certainly involved in some decisions as a spokesperson. I mean, at meetings like that when I was a spokesperson for the FBI, and it can be a pressure cooker. And it almost seems like a darned if you do, darned if you don't kind of situation sometimes, would you say?
It's going to be. I mean, anytime you're dealing with protests, and especially on a university campus that embraces free speech, and we're going to put a stop to it, you know, somewhat, as Dave said, preemptively. But we're going to take a stop because of the information that we have, and we don't want this thing to escalate. We don't want people to get hurt. We don't want things to be impacted. We're coming up on graduation week. There are easily, you know, across the country that some of these are going to impact actual graduations. People have worked 4 and 6 years to graduate, and now those are going to be impacted, let alone who are the people actually behind this. And I think it's interesting because we believe that it's just the information that the police officer may have on you know, right there at the encampment or on the campus. But we know that there is information coming in from across the country, more organized, coming through the FBI and those intelligence agencies and police departments that are gathering information about who these people are and what they want to accomplish. And I think that probably went into some of the decisions as to why they did what they did then.
And to your point, Chris, USC has canceled their graduation ceremony already, and that's a month out. But for safety reasons, they said they canceled that. Now, as we were talking to the University of Utah, they said one of their concerns was if we allow the encampment to begin and settle, then moving them out is far more difficult. Can you explain why that would be the case?
Well, I mean, and we heard some things from Chris Nelson about the fact that there was water and supplies and, you know, some logistical issues to keep people there for a long period of time. And I think that once things become ingrained and we've allowed, you know, we allow civil protests, we allow, in fact, sometimes violating minor laws and civil disobedience with these protests in the past. But I think that some of these protests in the past have gotten out of hand, they've gotten out of control, and it takes even more force to end them in the future. And I think that's one of the things that's being weighed in at the University of Utah, is that we don't want to have that bigger issue that may come. You know, as Debbie said, nothing, you know, happened, but may come. And based on the information across the country, we're not willing to let that start here.
So I still have heartburn, and I'm sure we'll have feisty conversations after I get off air about this, Chris. You know how that'll go. Just block my phone this afternoon. So, you know, here's the thing, Chris, though. Encampment to me sounds like a really weak excuse to bring in cops with riot gear and start making arrests. Now, we have not been presented any evidence today on the show that suggested that these students were, you know, going to be banging down doors and occupying, and I don't even know if they're all students. They may be just protesters. There was some concerns that maybe they're, you know, not students on campus, you know, who attend the U. So where is that line, though? I mean, I guess you can arrest for camping, but my goodness, I mean, if you walk around the city, you know, you see encampments all over the place and they're homeless and we're not bringing police out with riot gear to take them. Of course, we wouldn't do that. That'd be horrible. So to me, I'm not getting my head wrapped around where that line was that all five police departments need to come in and we're going to outfit them with riot gear and start making these arrests if they don't go home. What's your take?
Well, some things can possibly be predictable. The fact that you're going to call me later and we're going to disagree on some of these things is predictable. Like this, some of these things can be predictable. We don't have along the Wasatch Front a department the size of LAPD. We're going to have to use multiple departments, mutual aid, to get some of these things accomplished. And we want to bring in people that are specially trained. And mm-hmm. when I saw the video, I saw police departments that had special training in public order. The other thing is, I think that the decision makers, law enforcement at the university, cabinet, lawmakers, said, we want to send a signal that is going to, you know, set, we're drawing a line in the sand. It's a big line. We don't want you doing this or we will arrest you. We're not going to tolerate it. And I think that's the message. Now, that's not always been the message in the past with our protests in Utah. But I think this one, based on decisions, and you're right, Debbie, there's a lot of things going on in the background, probably some intelligence and information that's weighing into this big decision. And I think that's what's gone on. And they've made this decision. We're going to take a big stand, you know, last night and let you know if you continue this, this is the consequence.
Chris Bertram, thank you for joining us, former police chief in the Holiday Precinct with UFA. Thanks for your expertise.
Yeah, our team of reporters and producers still trying to track down people who were organizing the protest and also continuing to get law enforcement response to that. Appreciate you calling in, Chris. Talk to you in about an hour. Straight ahead, there's just been a really interesting start to new GOP candidate for governor Phil Lyman's campaign. It's landed him in the middle of a lawsuit. That's right. He's kicking off his campaign in court. We're going to tell you why next.
What would you do if your child disappeared and someone you trusted was responsible?
We thought he cared for McKay, when in fact he didn't care for anyone.
Listen to Ransom now at ransompodcast.com.